Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to be here this morning, and indeed, the words from our gospel lesson this morning are, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." It's good to be in his presence, and it's even better to have him in our presence today as we worship the final Sunday before Lent. Whatever else, though, today is, we've got a couple of important things. First of all, it's after worship this morning, second Sunday of the month. This is our fellowship Sunday, so we hope that you can join us immediately after worship this morning. An excellent time to just kind of gather together as God's people, whether you feel like a muffin or whatever it is they're serving back there or not. This is the kind of the high season of the year where we're hoping that people just kind of hang around, and because we've got so much that unites us as God's people. I had that demonstrated to me probably as much as anything by being gone for a week on a cruise, but it's good to be back. Gratefully, it seems like every time I've had a cruise, when I have come back, the one thing I have struggled to do to being back on dry ground is to do communion, but since that's late, we don't have to worry that I'll fall into one of you, but somehow that seems to happen every year. But it is good to be back. The cruise brochure for 2019, it's 13 months away, but the reservations, as is often the case, need to be made soon. That is another Faith Factor cruise that's joining us next year on a ship called the Carnival Liberty. Also today, after late service, is the third in our series of three meetings that we have planned to kind of get the future of faith charted out, at least with some clarity. Certainly, it's not going to affect what we're doing here as God's people. One thing that we'll never fail to do here is worship and to worship as his people. So that will continue, but we'll just see what happens. Again, that'll be after late church. We've had announcements about ice cream sundaes and stuff like that. I haven't heard anything of that nature yet, but if there is something, we'll certainly try to get that known to you. This coming week, though, does begin the season of Lent, and I believe you may have had your chance last week. If you didn't, ushers will be passing these out after worship. The Silent Witnesses devotional booklet, the booklet actually starts on Wednesday, but because information about the church is on both the front cover and the inside front cover, this would be a good booklet to be passing out to our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, even in the neighborhood clubhouse, wherever they will, on a doctor's office table where reading literature is put. This is an excellent, excellent booklet. I've been kind of pre-reading some of the devotions ahead of time and seeing just so I get a feel for how good it is. And this one is really good this year. So please do pick up your copy for that. Also, that means that Lenten services begin Wednesday night. Now, the first meal this week is at 6:15. All the rest will be at 6:30. This first one's at 6:15. It's served by our Sunday school, and we move it forward because our first worship for Ash Wednesday will always be here in the sanctuary. It'll be a service of Holy Communion, the imposition of ashes, and the beginning of the Lenten season. All the rest of the services will follow 6:30 suppers over in the CLC, and boy, do we have a lineup, a great service series that's coming this year, and a great series of meals, if I may say so myself. Looking forward to that. Finally, after worship this morning, there is a sweetheart dance a week from today. They did one of those last year, and for those of you that have even done just a little bit of dancing in your past or not, you're really going to enjoy this event. It truly is. For everybody, even those like me that have got four left feet. And so it's just the teens will be available after worship this morning to sell the tickets for that sweetheart dance. And that'll be after late church next week. Okay, those are all the things that I have. The Bible studies continued now this morning that we have both in the back in the conference room and here in the sanctuary. Please stand as you are able. Our order of service this morning is based on Divine Service Setting 1 in our hymnals, page 151, or you may follow along on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The lessons from Holy Scripture are appointed for the transfiguration of our Lord. The Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah is taken to heaven on a fiery chariot in a whirlwind. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the second, and it's from 2 Corinthians, the portions of the third and fourth chapter. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, as servants of our Redeemer. St. Paul writes, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, 'This is my beloved Son, listen to him.' And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Friends, in the grace and mercy of Almighty God, I use as our opening prayer the verse we just sang. Lord, transfigure our perception with the purest light that shines, and recast our life's intentions to the shape of your designs, till we seek no other glory than what lies past Calvary's hill, and our living and our dying, and our rising by your will. Amen. Friends, this morning my message is called The Power of Bleach, and I think you caught from inside the gospel lesson, undoubtedly this was a little quiet commentary by Peter, describing to Mark as Mark was trying to write the gospel. Okay, what exactly are we looking at here? Try to describe what you saw, whiter than anyone on earth could ever bleach anything. And we learned some things about the people from that time. I just got back from a cruise where I got to see a lot of things. Cultural lessons that perhaps every American in one sense or another needs to learn, needs to see, needs to be able to thoroughly enjoy, even as in the midst of seeing people that live very different lives than any of us do. Peter, James, and John got an education just as much. And they went up perhaps having certain things that they were going to understand. I don't know when the Lord took another opportunity, as he did from time to time, to set aside just those three apostles. If everybody else was catching, okay, now the last time he did this, something really important happened. And the last time he did this, something really important happened. But I do know this. The setting by which this whole thing started mirrors our world, where and how it starts. When I was on the cruise ship, for all the things that you see on there that are really impressive, one of the things that is not at all impressive are the channels on your TV set. That's not such a bad thing. I mean, I'd hate to think that you'd go on a cruise to sit in your room and watch TV the whole time. Still, I would be looking for channels once in a while that maybe had, you know, were just music, where you could have some of the ship's music playing in the background or something like that. And maybe a couple channels to try to keep you up with some things that are going on. But most of what they had, there were five channels that were devoted to cameras pointed at different parts on the ship. One of them was pointed off the front edge of the ship. Now, it was pointed in such a way that it was out, but ever so slightly down. So during the daytime, you could kind of see where we were going. If there were a couple ships that were out in the distance, and there were from time to time. But at night, when you turned to that channel, what you saw was nothing. Just powerful, powerful, powerful blackness. And the amazing thing is, during those nights, when there were not any clouds, because, well, there were the lights of the ship for sure, but because there was no other light for hundreds of miles, the brilliance of what you could see above you was amazing. But the ship's camera couldn't see it. Part of it was a resolution issue, whatever else, the way it was pointed. That's kind of our lives too. And it certainly was the lives of the disciples as they went up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, not just because the event took place at night, but because their minds weren't ready to understand everything that they had seen. Now, that would seem a strange statement to make. After all, somehow they looked out and they knew. You get the sense that, yes, they did know. It's not one of those things where decades later when the gospel was written, they were talking together. You know, that must have been Moses and Elijah there. No. That they seemed to know right away. How? Well, more on that in a moment. But still, here they have, and they see it, and they know it. It's Moses and it's Elijah, and they're talking with Jesus. And from that comes the statement, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." Well, my friends, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here" was for a very, very different reason. And to see why, we kind of have to go back to the Old Testament lesson, to that time when Elijah was taken from this world. Now, yes, we had one scripture lesson that talked about Elijah, the other that talked about Moses. And of course, this whole thing about the Mountain of Transfiguration, even though Elijah and Moses were, shall we say, making special guest appearances, this wasn't about either one of them, except to show that their salvation, that their moment of redemption was at hand, just like yours was. It would have been no different, except that maybe nobody would have known who you are, if you were sitting there talking to Jesus about the events that were about to transpire. And it's amazing, though, the things that people do know versus what they do not. For example, again, we had prophets in the Old Testament. We know that. We know that their job was to speak the very words that God gave them. And the sons of the prophets in more than one city were actually able to go to Elisha. They knew. Today is the day your master is being taken from you, Elijah. You do understand that, do you not? And Elisha's like, I do know it. You know, please keep silent. And Elisha was waiting. Because Elisha understood what must take place. That if this is the true prophetic ministry of our Lord and Savior, even with somebody in the greatness of Elijah, it would continue. Not even necessarily how the exact words that were being asked to be spoken of by the prophets. Those would go from words of comfort to words of doom in a moment's notice as they had to. But to understand what the prophetic office meant and the power that went with it. What Elisha was asking for when he said a double portion, he wasn't saying, well, whatever you did, Elisha, I want twice as much. However much power you had, twice as much. However many words from God you got, I want twice as many. That's not really what he was asking for. He was simply asking that if the power of the Lord is truly a part of that, that as it is going to be continued to somebody different, you ask for what is essentially a double portion, meaning that, yes, that from which came from Elijah continues, but something new also continues inside of the new prophet. And we saw that inside of Elisha. We saw that even more with somebody else. Indeed, as the disciples had gotten to know or thought they were getting to know who Jesus was, they kept seeing the same thing. A Savior who was very humble, trying to teach them lessons that most of the time seemed like kept going over their heads, even when Jesus tried to explain it to them. But them seeing glimpses of things that Jesus was able to do that had them asking, who is this? But now, they finally got a chance to see who the real Jesus was. Make no mistake about one thing, my friends, that we talk about Jesus being transfigured whiter than anybody could bleach them. This is Jesus, the way we will see him. And when you figure that they're able to say in the book of Revelation that heaven will not need light because the Lamb will be its light, well, when somebody shines like that, indeed, the Lamb will be the light. It will not be a light so blinding that we cannot see. In fact, it will be a light that will comfort us, that will remind us that the light of Christ will always be with us. But we don't have to wait until heaven to be able to receive that. Because in the midst of a darkness that the disciples were a little slow in understanding, came the light of Christ in three special ways. First of all, in the midst of that darkness, all the disciples could think of, especially Peter, was we have to make this moment last. Let's build something so that this moment can go on and on and on. A shrine, if you will. But Jesus' purpose, Jesus' redemption, Jesus forgiving each one of you, all of your sins, was not going to come from a shrine on a mountain. It was going to come from a cross on a hill. And the disciples in the midst of that needed to see that, yes, Moses and Elijah came, but only to speak of the same thing the disciples needed and the same thing that each of us need. Our sins forgiven, our redemption in life given, our eternal life for heaven secured. And then the second thing that needed to happen was that perspective that, disciples who were going to have to get used to some really, really strong emotions in the weeks to come. Right now, we're facing terror. Having already seen a sight that they couldn't make sense of, now here comes this cloud. And out of the cloud comes a simple voice. A voice very similar to the time when Jesus was baptized, but that had certain words that is for each of us. Listen to him. And the next thing that happens is that the hymn that that voice must have been referring to is standing alone. Oh, not that we are to ignore the things of the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ as recorded by Moses and has taken place in the era of Elijah. But the most important person that we listen to, as we listen in the epistles from the words of people like St. Peter and St. Paul and James and more, who do they talk about? Jesus. And in the Gospels, whether it tells a story about Jesus or some of the things that Jesus said, our entire life is about Jesus, to listen to him. And do we? Because Jesus' words ultimately are, with the help of Satan, of course, what put him on the cross. Jesus' words are not always easy to listen to. Still, when God the Father says, listen to him, that's what brings us here, to listen to him. And then finally, as the disciples are going down the mountain, and with 9 other disciples waiting down below for whatever, Jesus says, say nothing about this until the Son of Man has done something that he said was raised from the dead. Another thing that had the disciples absolutely stumped, but with the benefit of the eyesight that sees something other than the darkness that lies ahead of us, we see that through the darkness of Lent and Good Friday comes the light and the brightness and the victory of Easter that is our salvation. And indeed, there is no way that any of this makes sense unless we see it in the context of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Here in the next few days, we're going to be taking some journeys. Pieces of them are going to be fun. The first one Wednesday night is going to seem like it's going to be a lot of fun right up until a certain moment, when we're going to be reminded for more reasons than one that the journey of Lent is never pleasant. The journey of Lent that reminds us that our place is down in the same valley with Jesus, taking up our crosses and following him. That we can speak of nothing of the glory of Christ until we have seen him die and then rise from the dead. You know, as we were taking that final cruise ship, I could never help but be impressed by the people of God, and as they were throughout the ship, that in the places that we were, and we saw people doing all kinds of things, but the one thing that should not have surprised me but did was watching people in setting after setting, not always with meals either, but somehow I would continue to stumble into people that were spending moments together and separately in prayer. Yes, my friends, as the power of the Lord God goes inside of us, makes us whiter than snow, is able to project something in the midst of a world's darkness that's whiter than anybody could bleach them, we see that Christ goes with us wherever we go. And even if that camera that's pointed forward is plunged in darkness, that is where we must go as well. My friends, the cross of Jesus Christ that we follow is waiting, as is the victory that is ours, because Jesus has defeated death for you and shines like the sun. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let's receive our first fruits and offerings. If you've not already done so, please fill out those faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of us. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, your ears are always open to the prayers of your people. So today in particular, we bless you for the message of Christ's transfiguration. Through this mighty sign, give to us and all people a clear vision of the brightness of Christ's person and mission. Give us eyes of faith that see through the darkness to see the glory of his deity, leading us to worship him in spirit and in truth as he comes to us in word and in sacrament. Lord, in the bright light of your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that as we continue to see the glory of the true glory of his person in word and sacrament, that we may know and believe in him as the light of the world, the Son of righteousness, the visible likeness of your very being. May we continually hear your voice still today, Lord, that our faith may constantly be renewed. Through the sign of Moses and Elijah, teach us again that blessed are they who live in Christ, blessed are they who believe, blessed are they who die in the faith, for all of them will share in the power of Christ's resurrection, being transformed into an ever greater glory. Lord, in the bright light of your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Look on your church here and in all places, O Lord. Grant that we and all who bear the name of Christ may daily give to you our repentance, our thanksgiving, our obedience, our very lives in service to you and to others. We especially ask your blessing upon all who belong to the family and fellowship here at Faith Lutheran Church, especially as we face another time of decision this afternoon. We ask you to be present with all of our members, those that are here throughout the year, those that are here only part of the year, those that come as special guests or even worshiping for the first time. Give them your grace according to their needs. Remember each one of us, Lord, as the blessings that you have given to us, may we be a blessing to others. Lord, in the bright light of your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Oh Lord, we pray for all of those people who go up through life in the midst of difficult times, troubling circumstances, having to face surgeries, sickness, sorrow, loneliness, dysfunction, and all kinds of maladies of body, soul, heart, and mind. Dear Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. On behalf of all of God's people, including Barb Goodhue, who had surgery this past week, and on behalf now of someone in our own life that we lift up before you in a moment of silence. Loving Father, you really are near to all who call on you in truth. So hear our prayer. Grant all our petitions for the sake of him who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude in the middle of page 10 in our service folders, or again up on the screen as we conclude in prayer together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have blessed us in our worship this morning. We humbly pray that as we have seen your true glory in your sacrificial love, you would help us show your abiding presence in our words and actions through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.